I'd like to call the joint meeting today of the Committee on Energy and Environment and the Committee on Legislation to order. I have the honor of being the substitute chair for both. If our members could please all sign in, I think we're in business for both committees. The purpose today, thank you, it's nice to have a gavel when we need one. The purpose today is to discuss the issues raised by the three now different proposals before us having to do with the flood control program. And we're in good shape because we have Judy Myers, who has served as legislative representative on this, as well as legislator Bill Ryan, Marty Rogowski, Alfreda Williams, and it's been seriously rumored that Tom Avenatti is in the building as well. Those of you who are on the committee, if you'd please join us at the table. I see Peter particularly looking like he wants to be chomping at the bit. And Al Gatta and Ms. Wedbury and everybody. Let's all come
Charlie.
Up. If you're going to be talking and it doesn't look like there's anybody else in the room who's really seriously
come
interested,
to
let's
table,
all get
please.
Together here.
He's doing.
Tom Avenatti, here you go.
All right, sit over this side. Thanks.
Well, you know what? These are
identical. They're all the same. Doesn't matter. Change the names.
Thank you all very much for coming. This is a Valerie, you're waving at us.
Yeah, I was waving at my representative, Judith Myers.
Yes. She's a constituent.
Is that a secret handshake or what? Okay. It is important that we have all the time in the world, but let's face it, we got things we ought to be doing here. As I have not been intimately involved in this process as much as some others have been, I'm going to make a suggestion and ask you all to tell me whether it's a good idea to use this as a format to move forward. We have basically three proposals here. We have the Avenatti-Myers proposal, we have the Liswick proposal, and we have the
new and improved.
The new and improved whoever proposal. I'm not sure who's claiming authorship on this. I didn't see a name.
Yes.
Peter, are you smiling? Is that Peter? You're the one?
Yes.
Okay.
This is the camel.
What I would like to do, since Betsy DeSoy was kind enough to circulate this rather wide sheet, which is a compare and contrast between the original Avenatti Myers and the Liswick proposal, if it is correct to believe that the camel proposal is in fact a kind of blending and taking the best parts of each, or so the author would have us believe. Could we then use that as the framework for discussing what we have in front of us? Does that make sense to everyone?
Mm-hmm. Sure. We believe Peter's did an excellent job of trying to make
yes.
it all
uh-huh.
come okay. together.
Do we have a chart like that?
Yes. You do. It
you
looks
right
like
there
this. It's in front of you.
The big one.
You don't have a third column.
There is no third.
There is no third column.
There is the third is the newly developed hybrid.
Okay. Peter, then, if you could lead off. Actually, if everyone, just for purposes of the recording, could identify themselves. Let's start with Commissioner Hsu.
Sean Hsu, Commissioner of Public Works.
Peter Ashweiler, former Planning Commissioner.
Al Gatta, Liswick, who describes our manager.
Charles Pound, former park commissioner. And member of Flood Action Task Force.
Valerie O'Keefe, member of Flood Action Task Force, Supervisor Mamarin.
Phyllis Whitner, Liswick, and Town of Mamarin.
Thank you very much. Peter, if you could begin by describing, first of all, the background of this very quickly, and then let's get into the nitty-gritty.
Right. There were two proposals for stormwater management legislation. One came from Thomas Avenanti, over several versions year by year. The most recent one is now being referred to as the Avenanti-Myers proposal, and it is of March of this year. Subsequently, the county board received the proposal from the Liswick, Long Island Sound Watershed.
Engineers.
Okay. Yes, that group. And their proposal, when you put the two of them together, is extremely similar in many of its features. However, the proposal in the Liswick takes it a step farther and proposes to use watershed districts as the planning blocks in approaching the stormwater management plan, and through them has a proposal for how to charge properties within those districts directly for the improvements that are made in stormwater management. Mr. Gott and I were here in early July and described in general terms what each of the proposals were, and subsequently in discussion with legislator Nona, he suggested that we get our heads together here and see if we could perhaps come up with some sort of hybrid, and then meet with your staff, Mr. Crane and Mrs. Soya, to get their legal and legislative input to it. Al and I met in the end of July, and his suggestion was, Peter, why don't you see what you can put together? And so, we of the task force, Charlie, myself, Steve Otis, and Susan Fasnacht, met with Chris and Betsy a week or so ago. And again,
and I was there.
And Judy, I'm sorry. And again, it was suggested, why don't we see what we can put together? So what you have in version 3, or as I called it, draft number 3A, simply because there was a 1 and there's a 2 and this is 3, and A was simply for my inside bookkeeping on my computer, have tried to produce a hybrid. That hybrid, which I believe you have, is done on a word processing program which allows you to insert additional wording and strike out the wording that is there already. So we use the Avenatti-Myers draft of this spring as the framework for that, and then tried to introduce elements that were suggested by the Liswick group, elements that have been suggested by us of the task force.
Okay, if I may break in here, I'd like to acknowledge that Planning Commissioner Ed Burrows is here. What I'd like to suggest to the process is that we all take notes as we go along, and let's not interrupt Peter as he makes his presentation, and then we'll come back. If that's satisfactory to everybody, it will actually help us to get to the end of this thing more rapidly than if we break in. Is that satisfactory to everybody? Thank you. Go ahead, let's come in.
The significant difference between the Avenatti-Myers and the Liswick is the inclusion in considerable detail of the procedures for setting up the district and administering the district. If you choose to do that, there would be one district in their concept for each of the 6 major watersheds in the county, Long Island South being the ones that drain into Long Island Sound, and in which there is a long history through the Liswick organization of some 7 or 8 years of intermunicipal cooperation, discussion, negotiation, and attempts to do substantially this in a different direction. When we compared the two, as I mentioned before, on a line-by-line basis, there's almost a matching line throughout for everything except how to do the district in the Avenatti-Myers proposal. The establishment of the district follows a procedure in Section 253. 273, 253, of the Article 5A of the county law. And on my reading of it, as if it were in the county law, was it necessary to repeat it in the local law? But that, so when we were doing the hybrid, we left dangles out there so that you could do a Long Island Sound District approach to it as a means of implementing the plan once you had a basic countywide plan. It doesn't foreclose them, just doesn't bring in all of that detail and procedure as part of the proposed.
Keep on going.
So,
you want to do section by section?
I'm glad to. I put the lines on the left-hand margin, so it's easy to follow.
Thank you. If you'd like a job here at the Board of Legislators, thank you for doing that, because we've never seen been able to get that done, and it really helps a lot. So thank you for doing it.
Phyllis, do you have a red copy? For those who are lucky enough to have a color copy, the inserted words and the cross outs are in red.
Yes.
For those of us who are.
Except that flood management is replaced by stormwater management everywhere.
Everywhere. I did Without, a global search on
that. Flood control. We decided we
flood control is out, stormwater management is in. Because we on the task force felt that we can't promise flood control. We can promise.
In a perfect world.
We can promise relief. We can promise reduction in damage, but we can't promise flood control.
All right, super.
But I'm just saying, you didn't put that in red. That's just automatic.
Through this one.
I had to go back and undo it in a couple places.
Which I presume you don't.
It was a global search and replace. So that was already done by the time when I started inserting.
On the front, it says Article 3A, Westchester County Stormwater Management. Okay. Peter is going through this line by line. What we've agreed is that we will not interrupt until he's done.
Did you?
Fine.
I just did.
Okay, fine.
On the procedure. Did you delete anything?
No, on the phone, legislator. No, the chairman of the legislative committee. This is he on the phone.
Only question
that might not be a bad idea, Chris, if you could move that to the center.
Right. Nothing was deleted. It was all just added, right?
If it's deleted, it's crossed out.
You'll see.
Fine. So we don't need the old copy because we've only got a piece of paper. Great.
This is terrific. This is legislative draftsmanship at its best. Okay, go ahead, Pete.
Okay. On section page 2, line 44, the county should develop and coordinate cooperative watershed-based comprehensive stormwater management plans. Again, the idea of dealing with sub-areas of the county that are organized as well as loosely.
I think you should read through everything. I don't think anybody is that familiar.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I was just going to go to the changes.
I would do everything.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, that probably makes a good point. If you could just by sections, then just a broad overview, and then talk about the language.
Okay. The lines 39 through 51 just simply are the sense of the purpose of the legislation. In my earlier notes, I said it's God, motherhood, and stormwater management. Definitions are unchanged, except on page 3, they inserted a gratuitous suggestion that you're putting agency areas that are normally dry.
Yes, and we removed the school districts.
Yes,
really
down at the bottom of the page, under definitions of municipality, school districts had been listed in the original, and our suggestion is you do not deal directly with the school district because they do not have the power to implement many of the regulatory and control aspects of better stormwater management in their area. But we did change it so that it would recognize a stormwater management district, which you could later create on the Lisbon model.
Just hold on, you would, Marty. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Okay.
Page 4, powers of the county board. Some of them I believe you already have, but it goes on and specifically tailors them to the to stormwater management, and there are no changes proposed in that section. Powers of the Commissioner of Planning is unchanged on page 5, lines 119 through 26. It charges him generally with causing to prepare a countywide comprehensive stormwater management plan. And That will be discussed in greater detail later in the legislation. Similarly, the powers of the Commissioner of Public Works is to give to him the charge and control over any county projects in stormwater management, and also the power to review and approve and disapprove any sub-county or municipal plans that are developed in accordance with this article. So that if a municipality applies for county aid and is approved, the Commissioner of Public Works has review authority over the plans for that particular project. In the section 7 on page 6, starting line 139, we begin to depart from what had been proposed before. In lines 143 and 144, where it had said to enable the planning commissioner to formulate a watershed-based stormwater management plan for the county, in our discussions, we felt that because you're limited in manpower, because you're limited in money, to do the comprehensive plan that I think is envisioned in those terms would be lengthy and expensive. It is our suggestion that we substitute the concept of a reconnaissance plan as a first step, which is still a countywide approach, but it does not necessarily have to go into all of the details and engineering aspects of what we might consider a comprehensive plan. It's more of a survey, something that could be completed probably within a relatively short time, depending on whether you use county staff to do it or whether you provide funds for consultants to assist you. In that regard, your consultants are now developing for Commissioner Hsu a computer model of stream characteristics and ability to model stormwater runoff, which we think will be a very important tool for the county to use in making this type of
analysis. This is the HydroQuaf?
Yes.
And it builds solidly on the county's GIS information as well. So we suggest in line 143, instead of comprehensive, to say a reconnaissance stormwater management plan for the county to serve as the basis for the development of any subsequent detailed comprehensive stormwater management plan. Now that could be a countywide management plan or it could be simply for a single watershed. Carrying on with that, that the Public Works and Planning Commissioners may utilize maps of FEMA and may employ consultants within the constraints of funding authorized by your board. And in preparing the reconnaissance plan, and this is a very important link that we've taken from the Lizard proposal, the Planning Commissioner shall consult, one, with the Stormwater Management Advisory Board, which we'll talk about later, and other county agencies and departments, and with the chief elected officials of the municipalities or their designated representatives, and obtain their recommendations for stormwater management facilities and practices. One of the points that Mr. Gatta has made to me repeatedly is that you have to build a sense of ownership at the municipal level in this plan, and that the municipal officials feel that they are planning from the bottom up, and that their concerns and wishes are being heard and listened to. Line 154 on page 7, the Planning Commissioner shall submit to the County Board not a final plan, but rather the reconnaissance plan as soon as practicable, which shall include but not be limited to, and then it lists most of the characteristics that were there originally. In subparagraph 2, line 158, we change it to say a comprehensive inventory of the existing flood and stormwater management problems of the county. I think that is relatively easy to gather and collect by our experience with the municipalities and the Flood Action Task Force. We had asked each municipality to name a local flood maven that county staff could contact and get information on. Where are your flooding? Where are your drainage issues? What plans have you already studied? What engineering consultants do you have? And so on. So it's an inventory of what they have done, not necessarily a review of their competencies. And something that we feel very strongly about in the task force in line 159, and including those problems which may be located on county-owned properties or that may be resolved with facilities and practices on such properties. Let the county put its own house in order as part of this whole program. Down in line 164, the engineer on our task force had quivered a little bit when he read that the estimates of the construction of the proposed facilities were a responsibility of the planning commissioner. She felt that that had to be a professional engineer, and so that we stick Mr. Hsu with the additional task there to provide estimates of the cost of the various facilities that are listed. And on top of page 8, the original wording was sort of a catch-all, recommendations on such other matters as he may deem necessary, and then we put in some more catch-all, including areas or problems requiring further research, analysis, and study before a formal recommendation can be made for inclusion in the plan. Planning commissioner is asked to report every 6 months to your board, and then in lines 179, the county board may approve or disapprove the findings of the reconnaissance plan and from time to time amendments thereto. The county board may request the planning commissioner subsequently to undertake more detailed studies, more detailed plans and analyses of those watersheds or those projects as it may direct, including the development of a detailed recommendations for the implementation and administration and funding thereof. And that is a direct channel to the Liswick approach of being able to take on a watershed program and do the watershed plan for that detailed area with the idea that you'll end up with a district when you have a watershed improvement district when you go through. Obviously, the plans and any proposed amendments don't become effective until your board approves them. Stormwater management projects. These. This is unchanged from the original proposal. The county board may then authorize any stormwater management project as shown on the plan. And in my suggestion, any shown on the reconnaissance plan, because you can then ask for more detailed studies of the particular ones. But if it's made the grade to be on the plan, then it's an eligible project to be taken farther. On the next page, paragraph section 9 continues the practice the Flood Action Task Force had been following and uses many of the same languages that were in our guidelines that we had developed 2 years ago and which we've been following, which have been incorporated basically verbatim in both of Liswick and...
And everybody should have a copy of that in their folder.
Judy has copies today. Eligible applicants for financial assistance are all of the municipalities in the county, and all the municipalities are encouraged to submit applications. The in paragraph A, line 207, they say that the projects must be located within a flood hazard area as designated by FEMA and must be a project approved by the county board as part of the stormwater management plan. So that in adopting the reconnaissance plan, you have identified projects which are eligible for submission on an individual basis for your approval. Mayor Otis mentioned to me in an email this afternoon that he would be concerned that if the preparation of the reconnaissance plan takes too long, some municipalities may be stymied, particularly those that were already in the process. You've approved 4 projects. We had 13 in the hopper moving towards your consideration. And I think that's a valid point, and perhaps we could add some language there that any project that has reached that preliminary approval stage is entitled to go through in advance of the, or at least be considered by your board in advance of your adoption of the plan.
And where would you be putting that?
I would think in line 208, or following line 208. Just the projects already, in my paraphrasing, already in the pipeline may continue.
A lot of work had been done
Yeah, there are several that are sort of on the
it's
edge.
It's spent money, they're done for you already.
Yeah, okay. They're ready to go. It's the question.
Yeah.
They're ready to go, and they just need to find their share of the local funding.
Okay.
Lines 214 to 15 deal with the local share. You had 50% in there. I think Mr. Gatta has some suggestions that a wider range might be more welcome to the municipality. Applications must require a certified professional that the project will not worsen any existing worsen any flood situation. On page 10 in line 221, I've inserted the phrase dear to the hearts of many of us, best stormwater management practices. That phrase of best management practices is something that recurs frequently and clearly. I think you should endorse it in that fashion. The rest of the page is unchanged from the Abenanti draft. And on page 11, in line 245, I've inserted something again the task force feels very strongly about. And I think Liswick does too, that it's the intermunicipal problems that are really the big issues. It's the municipalities may or may not be able to afford to do their own local improvements, but should the downstream community have to bear the brunt of the cost of dealing with the upstream community's runoff? So I think they should get brownie points for those projects that are submitted that are intermunicipal in nature and that will result in greater intermunicipal cooperation and more effective stormwater management. No further changes on page 11 under the rest of the review procedures, which are taken, as I said, from our guidelines. On page 12, the draft gave the Commissioner of Planning the responsibility to recommend local laws, terms, conditions, rules, regulations, for the eligibility of the municipalities to participate, and also for their as a condition of their approval. Entry, line 275, entry on land and waters. I didn't change it, but the Liswick proposal has a more courteous way of approaching this, and where anybody who's about to enter the property is encouraged to ask permission before he does so. Even though he has the right, you should ring the doorbell and say, I'm here to do this, and may I come on your property? And if they can't, under the Liswick language, which we can substitute here, they can get a warrant for admission of the property. The Stormwater Management Advisory Board, in the Abenanti-Myers proposal, this was provided for 12 members, 6 appointed by the county exec, 6 appointed by your board, and required that one come from each of the watersheds of the county. And when I was here in July, I said that the task force felt that that geographic or watershed distribution wasn't nearly as valuable as having people on your advisory board who have technical expertise and experience in stormwater management and municipal administration. And we held up our own roster here as examples of people who come from different disciplines, different backgrounds, architect, engineer, we have former commissioners, we have chief electeds from 3 different categories of municipality in the original. Steve Otis from the city, Mrs. O'Keefe from town supervisor, and Mayor Williams from Elmsford from the village. Plus we have Judy Myers representing the county, at that, which gave us a wonderful spectrum of interests and experience. We have also Rick Herbeck, a very experienced village administrator, and we have, as I said, Susan Fasnack, a professional engineer, former vice president of Charles Sells, and Dennis Noskin, architect in his own practice, who is also representing the interests of the Westchester Business Council.
And was flooded out in Rye.
Flooded out in Rye. So what I'm suggesting here, and this is just a clear suggestion on my part, that the board consists of 11 members, retaining, if you wish, appointments by the executive branch and the county board branch of 5 members each, and have the commissioner of planning as the 11th member without a vote, but I'm suggesting he act as chairman. He, she, act as chairman. Simply because it gets over, gets around the discussion of having to have a vote of an equal number of members. It's difficult. Just name, get off the right off the bat and name him as chairman, but without vote. Then some other partitory language that in selecting the members to be appointed, you should give due consideration to the geographic distribution, the watersheds, if you want, and to the classes of municipalities in the county, cities, towns, and villages. But they should also select members who, by virtue of their professional training, familiarity with county and municipal government, or experience and involvement in stormwater management, are particularly well qualified to serve. I suggest that there, we don't have terms of service right now because we were appointed by press release rather than by law. But it's a good idea to give the members an out that after 2 years they can be replaced if they don't want to serve anymore. And I suggest they be staggered terms, but Chris and Betsy can give you best language. So that's the hybrid. I submitted all of this very late last night to the mailing list. Mr. Gatta has gone through it and has a number of specific comments and suggestions that he forwarded to me around midday today. So with that, I think completes my presentation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Fowler.
Give Peter a hand for doing
that. Thank you, Peter.
I'm going to ask the members of the board to be even more forbearing and let Mr. Gatta go through his comments before we open it up to members of the legislators. Mr. Gatta.
Thank you. Peter has done a really wonderful job, and we want to recognize that again. I'm going to go by page and item. They're not too many, so please don't think it's going to go on and on. It only amounts to about 12, but a third of them are repeated on a number of pages. So if we address one, it would be addressed later in the document also. But on page 2, item number 5, our suggestion there is we should not restrict projects to only those areas designated by FEMA as a federally flood zone. In other words, I broaden this somewhat because I know in a number of communities and my community, we have a lot of areas that are seriously impacted by a federal floodplain a little further downstream, and it's all connected. On page 3, item number 6, it would be the same comment. You'll see the labor in that. On page 4, item 12, there's nothing. Skip that, other than we would give it a title. On page 4, line 84, item 12.
84,
yes. It's just that if, in fact, we do adopt a plan and it's watershed-wide or county-wide, there should be some kind of an official classification of it, the name of it, so we all know what we're talking about.
Okay, thank you.
On page 4, on page 6, let's skip to the last sentence on page 6. I just brought up a question relative to the capacity of the county's public works department. Do they really have the resources to review the plans in a timely fashion?
You mean public works or planning?
This would be public works, the Stormwater Management Advisory Board and other county advisors, the chief elected officials and municipalities.
This is planning commissioner on page 150.
Page 6, last sentence.
Yeah, line 150.
Yeah, county agencies. Well, the same thing would apply to the planning department.
Maybe it's chief elected officials.
134 and 135.
Where are you on the page?
I'm on page six.
What line?
What
line?
134.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was down further. Excuse me. So
page there, six, 134.
Sorry. Okay.
You know, do they have the resources to do such a thing in a timely fashion? That's all. Just a comment. It's something to consider. Also on page six,
it doesn't say they have to do it.
Pardon?
It doesn't say that they personally have to do it. They could always hire outside.
But
it's just their responsibility.
But with reduction in staffs, yeah. Someone still has to manage the contract that you send out. But just a comment. On page six, section seven. Well, on page six, section seven, we agree that it makes all the sense in the world to have a, as it's termed here, a reconnaissance plan. There's no sense a municipality doing detailed work if, in fact, the project is not going to be considered as part of the plan and funding. It just makes a lot of sense. On page seven, we think there should be a clear option stated that the plans that are prepared could be countywide or on a watershed basis. I just think a little more language on that. Also on page seven.
What line? Page six. Page seven. What line?
I didn't have the lines when I did this. So I wonder, including problems.
156.
Yeah, 156. It could be inserted any there. It probably could be inserted in other places too. On that page.
Well, I'm just trying to understand.
The thought is simply to make it clear that it doesn't have to be a countywide plan. It could be a watershed-wide plan.
I thought that was the intent of this, to make it watershed-wide.
Well, the comment is to really emphasize that an option could be watershed on a watershed basis. Just to emphasize it. All right, also on page seven, item number six, it's related to the amount of contribution by the county and the local community, but it's addressed in later sections of the paper, so we can skip it here, or we could put some language in there also. But we do address it later on, and I'll get to it. On page eight, again, we think the reconnaissance makes a lot of sense. Let's go to page nine, item 1A. Again, the language there may be too narrow, and maybe we can put or impacted by a federally designated floodplain or FEMA flood area. On page nine, again, on small c, we address the local share. It's 50-50, and you know that's the way we've been operating. But a number of municipalities have had problems finding the local match. Now, I don't know how it's going to work out with the ones that are in the pipeline, Peter, whether that will impact any of those projects. But you know, we would like the board to consider a different formula, 75-25. You know, there has to be local contribution, so the locality has a stake in it, and we'll maintain it after it's done. But we hope that could be changed. The next item would be on page 11. Item 2C, again, it deals with the formula, but I think it's got to be clear that whatever formula is agreed to, it's got to be the same for all. It can't be 75-25 for one and 50-50 for another and 90-10 for another. It's just a matter of fairness and equity. And on page 12, it is the largest difference. And on page 13, the composition and the appointments to the advisory board. Lidwick's approach was a very pure bottom-up approach with municipal input. So its concentration was on creating advisory boards watershed-wide that were appointed by the communities, and they would serve on the watershed-wide board, and they would make, as a watershed, they would make recommendations for the for the reconnaissance plan, or whatever we're calling it now. So it would be coming from the bottom up. Municipalities always feel, and you know, this may not be good or bad, but I can tell you, they always feel that the model that the county uses for cooperation is the basic standard model, that the counties up here, they make the decisions, and we do what they want. And, you know, it's okay, but we think if we can come up with a different model where there's more of a local impact, local decision maker built into the planning process, I think then we have a real partnership and a much better relationship and cooperation.
That board would not necessarily have to replace this board.
No,
I have a sub-advisory board, because Al has a very good point. The municipalities really want to have a say right from the beginning and continue with it. And that's how we've had the tremendous intermunicipal cooperation that we've had. But it doesn't necessarily have to supplant the county board.
Mr. Gallagher, have you finished?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And Charlie, you want to leave a round of applause for Al? Here's what I'd like to do. At this point, I think we're at a decision point. Do we want to hear, and I simply am asking the question, do the rest of you from the various volunteers group, not the legislators, want to put in any comments? And then we'll go to the board members, or do we think that the board members should first ask questions and then you all as individuals respond, which would make more sense to you who know what's going on here.
From a personal standpoint, if I may, I apologize, but I have to leave in 15 minutes. I have four comments. I'd like to get them on the record, but yeah.
Well, then you've figured out the way to do it. Let's go.
Okay, thank you very much. Just very quickly, page 3, line 67. It refers to the FEMA. I think, Peter, that a great number of the detention facilities that are going to be critical to the implementation of this whole plan may not be within the areas designated by FEMA. They're upstream areas where you have to detain the water before it gets into a flood area. And so I think that, and there's two or three places where you refer to FEMA requirements. Should look at that and see if it's going to be limiting as to the effectiveness of what we do. Page 9, 206, same thing, refers to FEMA. Page 9, 216, okay. Qualified professional. I think that needs a little.
No, 16, same thing.
Page 9, line 216. Refers to a licensed professional, that could be a landscape architect, a professional engineer, or a registered architect. So I think we should take a look at who would be qualified to do what is required in here. And then that's it. Other than that, I think that's a very comprehensive plan, which takes the previous additions and compiles them together and clarifies and make it a very workable document.
Okay. Ms. O'Keefe, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I truly picked up on one thing I was concerned about, which was the last one, that it would be better to be more definitive what kind of professional it is, depending on the project, I guess.
Ms. Whitner?
I spoke out of turn, so my comments have been heard. But I think this is a fantastic job, considering where we started from. It's Peter and Al. Peter especially, I guess, deserves great credit for this. It's a wonderful document. I'm just very protective of the municipalities, having sat around the table for so many years with mainly the manager. I know how they think. I suppose I do. So that's the only thing that I would be very careful of, trying to include us lower level people before, and then input into the county.
Thank you. Let's then go to members. Since the A comes before the M, we'll go to legislator A. Have it on.
Thank you. First of all, I want to commend you. I have no dispute with anything you've done, except perhaps one item. Except perhaps one item. But I think you've raised some issues that need further explanation. One of the things that
in the body of this?
Yeah. One of the things that I'm a little confused about is, what's a reconnaissance plan? And throughout the body, by inserting the word reconnaissance plan, I think there's now confusion throughout the document when you use the word plan as to which plan you're referring to. So I think you have to go through the document again and say either main plan or reconnaissance plan, because I'm not quite sure as I'm looking here which one you're referring to. And I think we need a definition of reconnaissance plan. As a layman, I don't quite understand what it is that you're suggesting. I thought what you were saying with a reconnaissance plan was that you were going to do one of those for each watershed, and that together you'd put them in to make up one big plan for the county. But it sounds to me like you're not doing that. The Department of Public Works was insistent when we first proposed this and we met with them that they could not do a countywide plan, that they wanted a watershed-by-watershed plan. I personally would like to see a county plan and understand why that would be composed of various chapters, one for each watershed. But I'd like to see them put together as one overall plan, just in case there is some place where there is an overlap or but I understand the Department of Public Works concern, and I guess it was the planning departments also, that you really have to look at this as a watershed by watershed problem. How you put what I just said together into this document, I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure how you craft that into it. Our original concept was there would be a... I said something that knocked him off his chair, huh?
Sure.
Chair part.
Walk them all bit.
Call DPW. Screw cable.
At any rate, so I would still like to see, and I think you keep the concept of a countywide plan. Mm-hmm. But then you graft into this a reconnaissance plan. I'm not quite sure how the two of them, I'm not sure what a reconnaissance plan is and how it fits.
I think your point is well taken as to defining reconnaissance plan. It was my intent is that it's much more of a skimming plan. It does not go into the thoroughness and detail that I interpreted in comprehensive plan, because planners speak of comprehensive plans in a very in-depth
way. But you're still requiring the county to come up with a plan. So how does this work together?
But if I were the commissioner of planning and doing it, A, I would do it by watersheds, and B, I would, to answer Mrs. Whitner's point, I would convene a local advisory committee right out of him, composed of chief electeds, to help me do the planning. It isn't spelled out in that detail, but it certainly is an approach that...
All right, so can we ask you to, Mr. Chairman, if you wouldn't mind, we ask you to take notes on this
and
solve this?
I've been watching him scribble away as we go along, and I take it that he's...
Somehow address this.
When it might help to understand a little bit, when we started talking, when we finally came down to last week, I guess it was, trying to figure out how to put the top-down and the bottom-up plans together, what Liswick has is wonderful and ideal. The trouble is, it's not duplicated all over the... It's not replicated all over the county. There are other watersheds where the municipalities aren't all involved in working together necessarily, or don't all see themselves as being connected. And therefore, we needed to make sure that we left it broad enough for the existence of Liswick to to become this sub-advisory, you know, this advisory board or this subgroup. But also, if the area didn't have that, we don't want to discriminate against them just because all their municipalities can't get together, you know.
I agree with you. That wasn't my point with the plan, but why don't we move to that point right now? Where in here does it authorize the Board of Legislators to make Liz Wissick into a district? I don't see anything in here, because that concept of using the county as the vehicle to allow them to become a district came out of a meeting that we had to say, if I remember, we sat down and we said, well, maybe we can put all concepts together, and you're never going to get a district out of the state, so maybe we can be the vehicle through which a district can be created. I don't see that in here, and I think it ought to be in here. See, what I was envisioning, frankly, as an addition to what we had already done, was somewhere in here to have a local option. Because, again, the Public Works and Planning Departments were saying, hey, look, we want the locals to do this. So it seemed to me that you should have a smorgasbord in here to say each watershed shall select the form that it is going to use to make decisions within that watershed. And then set up a criteria that says, you know, if you get a certain number of municipalities, they can opt in to be a district. If you get a certain number of municipalities, they can opt in to become, you know, a board. If you can't get anybody together, well, then the default position is as follows. And I thought that perhaps we should have something in here to that effect so that each area does have the... I mean, for example, northern districts, the supervisors are working very well with respect to the East of Hudson monies. They may decide that that's the way they want to continue to work. Liswick may decide, hey, we'd really like to be a district because we have all of these other things, and if you guys can get your act together and say we've got enough municipalities to make a district, well, then fine. And when you come over to the sawmill, I mean, you're much more familiar with it than I am over there, but there seems to be a working relationship among the communities. I'm not quite sure how formalized it is yet, but maybe there could be some kind of a vehicle that would bring them together. And I'm not quite sure how to do this, but I thought that perhaps there should be something in here that allows for this process.
If I can interrupt, bringing the municipalities together is very critical because the whole intent, at least when we started out, I think, when Peter, is to give a reason and an incentive for the municipalities to work together. Sometimes municipalities cannot work together. And in adopting, for example, I'll use Peter's term, a reconnaissance plan for a watershed, that forces the municipalities to work together and to agree.
But we agree. I'm just asking, is there a need in this legislation for some formalization of how the communities are going to get together? There isn't anything now, correct?
Well, I
see, that's what their plan did. When you were putting them together, I thought you were going to take some of their plan and graft it into here. We didn't do that when we did the initial draft, as you saw.
I think my intent was to leave the door open to do that, and I would...
But don't you need some recognition in here?
I would put my finger on the ability of the Commissioner of Planning to recommend means of implementation and administration and construction, which language is...
Well, shouldn't there be something in there, though, that says that the county has the power, or acknowledges Article 5? It's Article 5, right? 5A or
5A.
5A. So I would think that maybe there should be something in here to, one, recognize that each watershed can operate differently, and that they don't all have to do it the same way. And secondly, that under certain circumstances, we could recognize a district or we could do something else. That's what I was looking for, because I thought that's what they brought to the table in their plan.
That's what, and one of the criteria for funding would be whether we were able as a watershed to come together and agree on a reconnaissance plan.
Right.
So would you put that... Al or Peter, where would you put that statement of moving forward to creating a district or a compact, whatever you want to call it? Where in the legislation, this draft, would you put it?
I can't put my finger on it now, but I would think in the area where the commissioner makes recommendations on the implementation, you can list those options. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that prevents Liswick from just submitting a Section 273 petition right now, as far as I'm
Well, it's not that. I think Tom's got a good point in the fact that not all of us at this table are going to be here in 3 years or 5 years or whatever.
Can I suggest maybe on Section 9?
What page?
That's page page 9, the municipal participation. Maybe a new section added there somewhere.
A new paragraph?
Yeah, probably to start it. Maybe, you know, make that 9A and 9B or something like that. Now, I don't have a suggestion on how you write this, but conceptually it seems to me you've got to have something in here to talk about. You know, let's let Peter figure that one out. Exactly.
Okay, fine.
The next point on FEMA. We did not have that in the original legislation. That was an addition from the Public Works, and I don't remember if it was Public Works and Planning or which one, but they were saying that they had maps, they had, and other reasons why they wanted to use this language restricting it to FEMA areas. I personally don't care. I don't know whether Legislator Myers cares, and I don't know what the pros and cons are, except that that was put in at the instance of the professional staff.
Mr. Scheer, your name has been used in vain here.
Well, it's actually his predecessor.
Ah, excuse me. Okay, what do you think, John?
Well, you know, legislation is very comprehensive, very thorough. I just have a lot of logistical issues of how to implement something like this.
No, I'm talking about Tom's point about the FEMA involvement here. Does that, because that's been raised, Peter suggested that that's pushing it too much, or narrowing it too much, rather. Do you feel on this point that there is an issue here with keeping FEMA as the touchstone or not?
FEMA really deals in the larger projects like we have in Mamaroneck. Right? I mean, we have a lot of flooding issues that are smaller than FEMA, may not even appear on the FEMA maps. And right. Clearly, you know, you can't, FEMA is a big snapshot of the whole county. And clearly, if we just use FEMA as the baseline, you're going to miss a lot of smaller areas that really are prone to flooding that we deal with every day when we do road projects that are do not appear on FEMA maps.
So you were suggesting then that we say FEMA or any
FEMA
local?
or anything that's as comprehensive or just not limited to FEMA, but include other things that we're familiar with by talking to local officials and local highway superintendents.
Something that's impacted by a federally mapped or FEMA mapped floodplain. FEMA has various classifications: 100-year, 50-year, 25-year.
I think this was an attempt by the professional staff to limit how far this would go.
Well,
and we didn't necessarily agree with them,
when we started the Flood Action Task Force, we didn't want residents coming forward and saying, yeah, I'm applying for money because my basement floods. So that's when we started saying, okay, it has to be FEMA mapped.
And it has to be at least at a community level as opposed to an individual level.
Right. Well, perhaps you can give us a definition that would substitute for FEMA?
Well, I think they just did. Impacted by FEMA-mapped floodplains or something.
If you could just address that point, if you want to take FEMA out, come back with some alternative language, that works.
I think Peter's taking the notes.
Okay.
Next one.
Next. I don't like the word staggered turns.
Yeah, he said, anybody have a better term?
Yeah, because that sounds like it. You know, they're going to meet in a tavern all of the time. And
Direction.
Perhaps somebody in the county attorney's office can give us a I don't know. Somebody in the county attorney's office probably has some language.
We'll work on that. The initial class will 50% will serve 1 year, and then the other 50% will serve 2 years.
However they get.
That's easily enough taken care of.
Exactly.
I'm not sure Peter can figure that out.
Right.
Okay.
Projects in the pipeline. There was a specific policy determination made by the Board of Legislators that no more projects would be approved until legislation was passed. We let some projects go. Right, you wouldn't be. This was an informal determination. It was kind of like we had some projects ready. We didn't want to hold those back.
That's when we left. We let the first four.
We let the first ones go, but we said, okay, fine. Now we're going to use that as the impetus to pass an overall plan, because otherwise we'll be doing them on an ad hoc basis and never get a plan done. So we need to do this quickly. We appreciate all of the work you're putting in. You're doing a great job. Keep working fast, because it's holding up the other projects. That's frankly what's
duly noted.
I don't think we have anything in the pipeline.
No, not necessarily. It isn't holding up.
Right, I think the 50-50 match, and we were very flexible with the 50% local match. In fact, those in-kind services or sweat equity,
exactly.
We would count that as toward their 50%. So I don't think anything's being held up at this point.
No, I don't think so. They were not at the finish. I mean, they just hadn't finished.
And the ones that we denied were clearly not municipal projects. They were more my backyard type of projects. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Are you certain that it was also in-kind match? Because our experience was it had to be cash.
We included in-kind match. If people had done studies prior to that to determine the problem, we included the cost of that study. Yes, okay. There was in-kind services.
Do you want to define that somehow?
Can we rely on our budget?
And it's even in this sheet. It says, participate financially with significant local funds, grants, and or in-kind services,
yes.
e.g. 50%.
Well, perhaps you should be defining match in here. Local match. If you want to use that definition, it should be in the statute somewhere. Okay. So that, and also I think there's now a policy question, Mr. Chairman, that we will probably have to address, and that's the percentage. They can't really make, they can make some recommendations, but the board is going to have to address the issue of at what percentage. 50-50,
70-20. I think we would disadvantage the board if we did not have a coherent recommendation.
Right.
From the advocates, so I'd like to ask you all, Liswick and the and everyone else to come together and give us a recommendation. We may not accept it, but we can't deal with two or three. We just can't. So we need one. Well, we need one recommendation as to what the funding spread should be, and then we'll say, well, that's a great idea. It's going to change.
Can we say at least 50% of total?
Well, no. But you're. I want them to tell us rather than us tell them.
Well, I'm wearing my flood action task
force hat. Excuse me. You're on.
One concept just occurred to me was to get into Al's point of incentives, that it's 50% unless you're in a district, and then you get only have to have 40%.
Can I suggest, as the chairman just said, we'd like to hear a recommendation, and maybe you can give us several alternatives and the pros and cons so that the board can then make a decision.
That might be satisfactory.
Okay. We discussed countywide versus watershed. You're gonna deal with that. There's one other issue that I want to hold to last because that's a bigger issue.
Well, okay. You don't get all the time.
Well, I understand. School district. We intentionally put school district in page 3, definition of municipality, because we were envisioning circumstances where a municipality, while it may not be able to do all of the things that you wanted to do and all of the conditions, but that where a school district, while it may not have the same powers as a regular municipality, might have its land involved in a project.
Like Bronxville.
So what do you do? How do you deal with it? Because if the school district is not included in here somehow, then I would read the legislation to prohibit the Board of Legislators from doing anything on school district property and prohibit us from entering into an IMA with a school district. And we don't want to do that. We want to have the option of perhaps having an IMA with a school district.
I don't know whether our project specifically says anything that could help you with that, but the project that we submitted and it was funded, much of it improves the school district property, and actually the school district signed on with us.
Well, that proves my point, so how can you take school district out of the definition?
Signed on with the village.
The applicant, though.
We were the applicant.
Yeah,
I see what you're saying. Okay, so then what we have to do is modify this somehow to distinguish applicant from landowners. Because
the school district doesn't deal with whatever you want to call it, a community-wide stormwater plan or reconnaissance plan, I don't think they would have the handle or the interest or the expertise to spend the time and approach something like that.
I'm not disagreeing with you. They would come through the probably come through the school through
the community
through the town.
Town.
But what I'm saying to you is, if we don't include them somewhere in here, we may be precluded from doing a project that affects a school district because they are, by state law, a municipality. And if they're excluded from our definition, we may not be able to deal with something where they have to sign on to the IMA.
No, but they sign on with the municipality.
It doesn't matter. There's still a three-way IMA because we're going to be looking for indemnification from the school district. We're going to be dealing, right?
You've piqued Peter's attention.
So yeah, that's one Peter could fix.
Exactly. I think it's easy to do, but I think you have to deal with it.
Yeah, good. Okay.
Let me see what other must apply to the municipality.
Okay, Tom, if we could take a pause with you.
I got one more big one. One more big one, and that's one we have to. And that is the this issue of The issue of the overall board. I understand the concern that there be people of certain expertise. And maybe...
Is this the advisory board?
The advisory board, right. We were torn on this because we did want to preserve the expertise, but at the same time, we wanted to make sure that everybody was heard. And I don't know how you do that. I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be as strict as ours, where we were basically saying that the reason we had six is you were going to have two people from each district. But at the same time, we want to make sure that each watershed does have somebody there. You know, supposedly so that they understand what's going on in that area. I mean, like, you guys are working so much with Liswick. How would you feel if nobody on this board was from the Liswick area? You would feel that, hey, wait a minute, they really don't understand. We don't have an advocate up there. Now, I'm not quite sure how you solve this problem, but I think it's a problem that has to be addressed, and that...
I think that's connected with what Phyllis said, that if somehow we can come up with a bottom-up planning process, you'll get all that local input. And then you even can, if you desire, you can have a representative on the board of 10 or 12, but not necessarily. So long as it comes up, and so long as this advisory board has to consider
right.
the recommendations that come up, a yes or no, they just couldn't manufacture a project on their own and say, no, we don't want any of those. We're going to do a project over here.
Well, I don't see that in here. That was in yours. That's not in here, right?
No, it's not.
And I think that's an important part that you have. I mean, I was listening to you. I heard what you guys were saying. And I think that's an important part, that somehow there's got to be this watershed group.
What we say, we will give due consideration to the geographic distribution of the members, which means watershed.
But the point they're making is that's not as important as it is to have the local input. Like we have, let's use the Northern Supervisors as an example. We have kind of an informal agreement that we're not going to do anything that the Northern Supervisors don't want. And we pretty much will listen to what they suggest. So we want the same kind of an operation here for each one of the watersheds. And we want to make sure that each one of the watersheds gets a fair shake at the money and that each one of the watersheds is heard. How you put that in here, I don't know.
That's the whole problem with this stuff, right. Is that you can't write discretion into law.
Well, except the Liswick plan.
I think Peter could do it.
The Liswick plan did have
it. Man, I think he can.
Have you just gotten a vote of confidence?
On my face.
I think he can build something in
okay.
language.
Right.
Like
see, the Liswick plan went much further the other way, and so I'm just arguing for taking the concept of the Liswick plan of somehow having that kind of. That, you know, I'm not wedded to the idea that it has to be, you know, two from each region or this, that, and the other thing. But I just want to make sure that down the line that each one of these areas yep. is heard and we don't find, you know, and alternatively, I don't want all the money to go to the Sound Shore. We got some problems on our side and, you know,
fair
and you're in the middle. You get them all the way. So.
Fair enough.
Good. I think that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Ryan, you've been very patient. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to... draw attention to two unrelated points, and that probably is all I have at this point, but the first deals with the question of modification of the local share, county share, very simple formula, you know, 50-50, but I don't recall, and maybe Tom and Judy or others are more familiar with it, but do we have a legislative record that speaks to why it was 50-50 right out of the gate? Was that more than just a, well, that would be nice, we'll both share equally. Is that traceable back to something that might have been recommended? And my thoughts are to some of the federal programs to localities to address these types of things and looking at federal guidelines. So I throw that out. I don't remember whether or not our legislative record speaks to that. The other point that it's not a question, but it's a point I just want to put on the record. Under the section of municipal participation, the discussion about projects and the criteria, eligibility criteria. I think it's a very good point that there is language now that talks about the what is referred to as the flood hazard designated area by FEMA, and the point that as FEMA deals with the larger projects, there may be smaller needs that wouldn't be picked up. But I also can't get past the hypothetical. I can't point to anywhere in particular in any of our districts that we could quickly, get a very clear picture of. But it's a hypothetical of outside of the designated areas by FEMA, are there stormwater retention opportunities that might be addressed or might be realized by project applications that are approved that under this language would be disqualified because they don't meet the criteria being within the FEMA designated area. Charlie makes a point, and I think that's very important. I think the language needs to address that, because it could very well be that there are great needs that'll really use up a lot of capital if we're simply addressing the projects that are brought forward by municipalities who have FEMA designated areas within their political subdivision. But the thing is, the opportunities to provide relief through detention and the gradual feeding of water into the system, that those opportunities in this county, or in certain parts of this county, possibly are great and may be looked at by us down the road. Are we going to be precluded from, seriously looking at those applications because of the criteria that's in the legislation?
I can just turn it into a question. One of the projects that did make it through is in Rye City and Rye Brook, and it's an existing dam and an existing body of water that applied for a sluice gate so that they could let water out into the Blind Brook before a storm, and then put electronically, have the sluice gate closed, and you've got sort of a deeper well, in essence.
Sure.
And that now is the property at the Bowman Avenue Dam, is that in a FEMA designated area? Probably not. I don't think that area floods. Well, unless it overflows.
But absent that, it doesn't. So it's been.
Right.
Good
and
chance
I'm
it's
thinking
not
also everyone. We had an issue at the airport with the possibility of needing to expand one of the retention basins, number two, or the one that goes into the Blind Brook. Now, it probably doesn't flood at the airport, but it sure floods down below. So I think you have a good point. I don't know.
I think Charlie misread document. There is nothing that says that the works of improvement have to be in the flood, high hazard flood areas. It is that the damage that you are relieving must be in a FEMA identified area.
I don't think that was the intent. No, I think he read it properly.
Well, where is that? Let's go to that.
I think he read it properly. At least that's what the intent was originally, that the work would be done, because they wanted to use the FEMA maps. They didn't want to have to go out and create new maps.
Well,
that's what the Public Works Commissioners told. Chris, do you remember that? Isn't that what it was all about? Am I misremembering it?
Well, I guess I would agree. On page 9, it says project locations or the identified problems must be within a flood hazard area, as designated by FEMA. So that would seem to account for both the upstream infrastructure and the downstream problem.
Right. Thank you.
I remembered that all along. The works of improvement are more likely to be in the non-flood areas, as Mr. Ryan pointed out.
Well, then you have a problem with the use of the word FEMA.
No, you may have a problem with FEMA. The words project location.
Well, no, if the work needs to be done upstream, that upstream is not part of the FEMA.
No. But it's not clear, is it?
It isn't clear in this. If you look at page 205 on page 9, we say project locations or the identified flooding problems must be located within a special flood hazard area.
Mm-hmm. Can I suggest that
you could say the identified flooding problem must be located there?
And let these guys figure out what this means and what it should say?
That's language we didn't change. That was in the original.
Correct.
Yes. Right.
Well, it was changed from the original one that we put in. It was changed to accommodate the concerns of the Public Works Department. Because they didn't want to do, if I remember, wasn't it, Chris, some conversation about they wanted to use FEMA maps and didn't want to have to go out and create new maps?
I may address this question of the stream channel law, which is exactly the point.
The stream channel
that they wanted to modify the stream channel law to incorporate the FEMA maps so you don't have to go out.
But they wanted this to be the same as the stream channel law.
We haven't changed what you wrote.
The broader the area was, the more difficult it would be to investigate funds.
Whatever the motivation was, I still remember that that was...
We need to clear this up.
Right.
Clear this up.
Okay. Peter's taking the note on that. Mr. Ryan, any more?
No, thank you, Mr. Burton.
Mr. Rogowski.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, let me just start off by saying that was clearly one of the points I was going to make. It seems to me, I'm a novice in all this, but it seems to me that, I don't know, the experts say 90% of what causes the flood in the flood areas is upstream. I mean, without, you know, spending a lot of time, that just seems common sense to me. So my comments would have been, what's going on up county, and forget this whole FEMA thing, is go where to prevent the flood here. To me, it's almost obvious you go upstream, whether it's the airport or, to me, it was just, that was an obvious comment, however you fix it, but it should certainly, the legislation should certainly allow for doing the work where it started problems. So, I mean, that to me
which further illustrates why the counties must work together.
Where it's flooding, you kind of put your finger in the dike, you're just constantly stopping the flood. But meanwhile,
doesn't address, which is that at least for the Long Island Sound watershed and some of the others, we actually get a lot from Connecticut.
Well, sure. Well, but Mamaroneck and Larchmont, you're at the tail end of everything that's coming. Down
like Pound Ridge gives it to Connecticut.
Brunswick School gives it to the airport.
Well, that's true.
But, it was on this very point.
Anyway, this is just my
position. Cy Globerman said years ago, we're up north, granted, but we're trying to drink it as fast as we can.
Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I just did point. The point's been made, to the non-expert, that's where the problem is. So really, it should focus up there. I want to get school districts recovered. I think we could be a little more specific. It seems to me you did touch in the selection criteria, the almost like a joint application referred to. I would. It seems to me, because again, we're talking flooding, and there's an assumption this is a broader. I would say if it's more than just the application showing cooperation, I would say a joint application, so it goes to the top of the list. I mean, from a county's point of view, we're looking at policies. It's just a suggestion to think about. We really want to encourage, if the numbers show it, a joint application, then you can do maybe 50, 25, 20, then it splits the impact to the municipality. So more than one municipality applying and saying how we're working together, if we see a joint application, that goes to the top of the list. Let's be very clear on where our incentives are. So I want to focus on incentives. I would argue you go to the top of the class, head of the class, if you come in with an application of two municipalities, three municipalities. I mean, the more that you know you're going to be first. So that could be clear if the committee, just make it very specific. Either higher subsidy or just a higher, you're going to get picked one way or the other. Specific to some language, when this plan is due, it sort of says as soon as practical after passage of this law. It probably should say within 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. Pick a time frame, because what's left, as soon as practical, when we'll be waiting years for it. Yeah, potentially.
That you changed. I mean, it was originally in the earlier version of last year, there was a time.
I'm always a believer that then we can try to enforce something.
Practical.
Just suggest you pick a date and have something to work towards. Otherwise, it's never going to
be. You give them a date, you give them the money.
Yeah, so So I would suggest, you know, some date certain.
Where do you see that?
It's right up front. It's the creation of the plan as soon. It's line 140. As soon as practicable after this argument takes effect, the commission shall jointly proceed to make surveys to formulate. So it's not even sure what do you start. As soon as practical, you're just starting to make the surveys. You actually produce the plan. So now, again, it's unclear when the plan itself is required. You're only required to start to proceed making surveys. So, again, you need to tighten that up.
Mr. Burris, Mr. Hsu, what do you think is a reasonable...
I will tell you that the resources going forward, I want to answer for Ed, is that our staffing is significantly reduced in next year's operating budget. And that if we're going to pursue this very ambitious plan, then we're probably going to seek funds from the board to hire a consultant. There are a lot of consultants who help the localities do the MS4 program. They're very familiar with their MS4s. They were all submitted to DEC. We just got ordered by DEC ourselves. So there are a lot of consultants that do this work extensively, and they would have the resource to be able to put this together in a timely fashion for everybody to review. If it's based on Ed and my staff availability, it's going to be fitted in with all the other tasks they have to do. And unfortunately, the reality of life is that, you know, we'll start, and if something takes over because it's a priority, then it sits until that project is done. So this is really a full-time effort to do this properly. It's a full-time effort. You can't do this part-time. When we did the MS4 ourselves, the DEC, and sustained the audit and prepared for the audit, it was a full-time job for several weeks to ensure that we did everything we had to do based on our plan and based on the fact that the audit would, we would pass muster on the audit. So it's really... You know, that's aside from administration taking George. That's aside, you know, from administration buying into the program and saying, here's the resources that we're going to have to devote to make this thing work. Because clearly, in-house staff, I don't have the expertise in a lot of these areas. I have two or three people to do this. We do the 239K reviews for all the subdivisions and all the approvals for the localities. I think one of the difficulties, I know this legislation gives us the ability and the power to enter into local domain under home rule and be able to go on private property, and if in fact they refuse, we would actually look for the local PDs. We wouldn't call county police. This is not something that we do. So we get into this whole issue of trespassing. If we get sued, if someone falls up, I mean, these are just the practical issues of dealing day-to-day that I deal with every day. It's a laborious issue. When we do the 239K reviews on major subdivisions, where we look at their compliance with MS4 regs, access, site distance, all those issues, sometimes we write a very extensive report based on where we think it is. And quite frankly, since we're not a zoning board or a planning board at a local, they could just take it and thank you for your comments. And they'll do what they got to do. And then when it's advisable for them to use our thing because they're against this, oh, the county said we can't do this. I mean, we've been there before. It's made the papers, right? So clearly, the legislation gives us the authority, but the logistics of working out what the home rule really matters, how it really is going to get implemented, is a major issue. It's there are certain communities that are way ahead of the curve with stormwater. There are other communities that we all work with daily that this is not a priority for them. They've got other issues they're dealing with. And so how do you mix the people that are at the leading edge versus the people that are at the tail end? It's not everybody's treated equally. Not everybody has the same priorities. So and granted, how, you know, Scarsdale is a very advanced community.
Maybe in this section is where a lot more municipal participation would be built in. A lot of municipalities have done a lot of this inventory and condition reporting of their streams and ponds.
Well, they're required to with the MS4 regs. Everybody had to report, otherwise they get fined by DEC. So clearly, some have done a better job, others have done a job that's been submitted, haven't been audited. So.
And part of that is what Peter said. I mean, so as a planning approach, that's what we would obviously do that. You go to those places and do that. Doesn't that, you know, even though it's not written here, that's the way you approach it. And the other point is, too, I think with the reconnaissance plan as an opening, I read that as more of this really is reconnaissing throughout the county. What are the issues? Dealing with municipalities, identifying, trying to get a handle on that without doing all the calculations of flooding and the rest of it in the first place. But at least you get a handle countywide, by watershed, on what those issues are and what resources are in the municipality. It's part of coming back, saying this watershed, people organize, they know how to do it, they have information. This watershed, there's nothing going on. So that kind of overall assessment of where really what the next step would be.
To meet Mr. Rogowski's point, though, are you saying that we really can't do a lot better than as soon as practical?
Yes.
In this phrase?
Yes. Well, let me define my question even more, Mr. Jones. I'm putting my legislation hat on now. We're talking about requiring the commissioners of planning and public works. Now you got two commissioners, so right away there's issues in budgets. shall jointly proceed, and watch the verbiage, you know, this is the drafting, the two commissioners jointly proceed to make surveys and related matters as may be necessary to do what? To enable the planning commissioner to formulate this reconnaissance plan. Period. So now, and then to serve as the basis of the detailed plan. So again, the question is, now you parse it out, you have two commissioners, as soon as practical, to start doing this work, to enable the planning commissioner to have to formulate the plan. So there's no deadline on the plan. We're saying as soon as practical, get started. With the goal of the two commissioners handing material to the one commissioner to then do the reconnaissance plan. And we have no deadline on that. So one argument, one thing is we need to, you can start as soon as practical, but when do you finish? And then beyond that, do we want a deadline for the comprehensive plan? This just says to form the basis for the development of a subsequent plan, and that could be 10 years from now. I mean, we put it out there as a goal, but without more here, that's all it is. You can do this reconnaissance plan at some point, but this is just a wish to do the plan. If this board wants a detailed plan as part of this process, we need to say 12 months from now, 18, you know, so well, by going two commissioners to one commissioner is a problem, I would think, just because you guys work together?
Yeah.
First of all, we share your budgets.
First of all, we've appeared before this board on the MS4 legislation. It was developed jointly between Public Works, Planning, and the Law Department. I mean, we were the MS4, the county's MS4 plan. We were.
Well, I don't want the planning commission coming back. I'm ready, but the public went to get it. Well, and then ask, let me add the other question. I was asking, the MS4, we sat through this yesterday. All MS4 stormwater plans.
Sure.
How does that relate to this? Again,
it's very related to this.
So, you know, there's no mention of all that work here, but I'm assuming. Right,
The MS4 is a state DEC reg. Every community had to submit an MS4 plan to DEC.
But there's no sort of flood work on that per se. It's all just stormwater collection.
You start out with stormwater. Discharges is what results in flooding. So you start with the discharge.
Right. Water.
So I'm just sitting here kind of scratching my head. Yeah.
Why all the municipalities at this point should have a great deal of information.
Yes.
Whether they know it or not.
Right, a lot of the communities have hired consultants to prepare their
plans. So these stormwater plans related to this reconnaissance plan, there should be a lot of tying together.
Yes, and you got to put it all together so you have a complete composite of the whole county.
I'm wondering, Mr. Chairman, if we should draft this legislation a little bit by empowering maybe the planning commissioner, when it's all said and done, with the authority to either write regulation or do something. There's a lot of information out there, all these MS4 plans and I'm not sure.
The MS4 regs are a state reg. It's the state.
Well, I know, but we now have county municipalities. I'm just asking, does it make sense to bring all this together through maybe the planning department?
Let's bring Ms. Whitner in here. She looks like she's about to submit something for you, director. I'm not sure what.
I don't see where the MS4 plan is anything.
It's
the research that went on beforehand.
Okay, all right.
A lot of this material is just
annual report.
Yeah. That's the bottom line.
Boilerplate by the. The consultants who are simply.
I don't want to raise it if it's not a problem.
The Department of Planning has done a tremendous amount of research appropriate for this year. WAC programs.
Let me try to finish up then, Mr. Chairman. So I think this whole deadlines and what the deadlines on what we need to look at. Finally. It seems in terms of incentives and maybe penalties. This board has lived through, you know, affordable housing issues and lawsuits, and we obviously make affordable housing a high priority and legacy and consideration. To what extent, to the extent that flooding, that we hear from some of our colleagues, you know, is really up there as a major issue, major concern for the county, to what extent should we say, you know what, on the positive side, let's do kind of legacy kind of deals. You know, we encourage you to do some flood work and you get something. And the reverse is, especially for some of the up county communities that may not see the flood problem, they don't see where the water ends. To what extent do we want to do what the federal government, frankly, has done to us? All available means to make people do certain things. To what extent do we want to look, say, to all the communities, we feel this is such an important issue. We do a lot of things for the municipalities that they may not even think about sometimes. To what extent do we want to say, we're going to
we're going to hold your feet to the fire, take away, I don't want to go into public safety, but take things away unless you do some flood work. So I thought as a policy issue, let's, Ms. Cosby may not like that, but if we really think this is a big problem as we see affordable housing, then if the feds can hit us with that, should we turn around to municipalities? You may not want to work together. You're having problems working together. Well, we need to make you work together because people at one end are getting hit with the floods, and you other folks over there, you may think you don't need to do anything.
That's so, what the whole list would.
Well, you're right, okay. But I'm saying the feds came down pretty hard on us. Do we want to have something on the books that gives us the option to be tough?
I don't believe we have that, but I'd like
to. Well, I throw it out there as
okay,
a.
Fair enough. Judy, you haven't had a synoptic opportunity to say anything.
We're going
to
get tough for
it. I applaud Peter. I think this is exactly what we needed, and I think it's amazing that we've gotten to where we've gotten from what was basically a little flyer that said, apply for some money, and we'll help you. I think to the last point that Marty made, it's, and that's always going to be, what we had included originally in the Flood Action Task Force that is now included in here was the concept that if you want county help with a project, then you have to meet all sorts of requirements regarding your own municipal laws, your own, you got to take care of yourself first. You got to make sure that you've got all your ducks in a row with regards to how you handle homeowner requests and zoning changes and this and that. Because we don't want to just put good money and then have you guys go and let people build within 2 inches of the Mamaroneck River.
But to that point,
if you don't have a flood problem in your community and you have no interest in applying for any flood control money,
exactly.
Then you probably, but you still have your MS4. You do still have to show how you handle your stormwater.
But I'm just saying that may be the hook,
since that's the one unilateral. I mean, even White Plains had to do an MS4. You know, they may not want to join Liz with.
They asked, they put it on their agenda company.
Whoa. Good going. Anyway, but I mean, there's always going to be, you know, municipality X that's going to say, it's not my problem.
Which is maybe all the more reason this should be a watershed-wide plan where the communities have really great input from the bottom, but they all must agree to it because the projects, and you prioritize them, which is what we talked about. When you prioritize them, you're going to do the biggest bang first. If New Rochelle is flooding down there, it might be something as a priority number three that Scarsdale has to do. And everyone would have to agree to that. And if a municipality doesn't sign on, then, you know, it isn't going to get any resources.
Well, but on that point, that's my point. And again, it seems to me it's always nice to have all work together. But maybe it's just me and where my head's at. You know, this is an important issue, and Rye, Mamaroneck, and Lawrence are getting flooded out, and Harrison's got its project home run there. And Harrison's not doing anything. And Harrison says, well, you know, we're not getting flooded. We're just, well, maybe the county's going to say to Harrison, Rye and Larchmont, America, they have problems down there. I mean, you may not see it, but, you know, maybe we have to step in because Harrison doesn't sign off on it. Well, it's not our problem.
But if you can build in something initially where the municipalities take responsibility for that.
Well, Harrison says, I don't care.
And then it comes up to the county.
Harrison's raised taxes as it. They don't want to spend money to help Larchmont, you know, hypothetically. They don't want to spend money to stop the flood in Larchmont. They say, you know what, we're not signing on. All I'm saying is this legislation may need to have in it some teeth.
Thanks, John.
That if those kinds of issues come up, county can, we want you to get the, there's incentives to work together. Let's give the incentives, work together. But if you can't work together, we got to stop the flooding.
I don't know.
Mr. Cardona, are you still on the line? Okay. No, John, we've driven John away. We're driving Tom away. Are there any points that anybody else feels that they need to make here, or should we give Peter
only to thank
Alex
everybody
Trump?
For the great work. Yeah, we look forward to the
next one.
Sorry, John.
I just, this is, you know, a lot of work has been done in this. I think we've come up with a pretty good framework for moving forward. I think Marty's point needs to be considered. What's the incentive to get municipalities that aren't directly facing flood problems but causing them, maybe, to their neighbors, how to get them on board? But the one shadow I would cast over this is, given these times, and I'd like to hear from the administration in particular, are there funds that are going to be set aside for these projects? And has anyone looked at the cost of implementing the statute and what extra personnel would be required, if any, what extra resources, the cost of outside consultants? I mean, these are items we kind of have to take into account, I think, these days when we enact legislation.
Mr. Roros has had to leave for another engagement. Mr. Shute has left. We still have, which leaves Mr. Burrows who didn't have the wit to leave fast enough. Ed, do you have any? You want to respond to that, or you want to?
I agree with the legislator. I mean, this is a real concern, you know, because of our contacts as John went through, in terms of doing things in house. As much as I prefer to do that, because I just spend twice as much time and money doing consultants, we will really be stretched. So maximizing those resources is going to be a real concern. We can't do it. You know, this way, I agree, if you don't have a timeline, it's not going to get done, especially in these circumstances. But if you have a timeline, we're going to need money to do it, because we're going to have to get outside help to do it. And that's an issue in itself. And then the second point is, you do that, is there money there to actually fill to come through with the projects? And that's tough, too. moving ahead and doing a reconnaissance plan, outlining the situation, seeing what the situation is, and sizing up the capabilities of municipalities, how can you argue with that? Because that's making progress. But then, raising, in a sense, false hopes, that could be an issue.
I was just thinking, and maybe when I went out, you discussed this. If you put together a consortium of what Marty says, get them together, and then you say the project is 50%, let's assume, arguendo, 50% county money, 50% project local money, have we thought of how you divide the money, in that you might have three municipalities having to come up with the 50%? I mean, has anybody thought of that?
You mean the projects or the money for the project?
The money for the project would have to be some portion of the 100%. The county will pay a certain amount.
We left that up before.
Okay, but now I'm thinking of what Marty's talking about.
Yes.
Two, three, or four municipalities.
Okay, two or three or four municipalities. Uh-huh. And now, if they all are going to have this joint application that we talked about, do they divide their share into, and how do you divide it?
Well, that the original Liswick proposal was that the municipalities were going to put together, let's call it the plan, whether it's a reconnaissance plan or something else. They were going to put together the plan. They were going to identify the projects, and they were going to set the priority. So if dollars went to New Rochelle,
right,
as opposed to Mamaroneck,
right,
well, you would see where you are on this plan. Well, you got the next project or the next project. The thing was to do the project that gives the biggest bang for the buck, and to do the projects that upstream communities would not even think about. And if a community or a group of communities could not do that, just to put it in plain language, they wouldn't get any money. Their folks would still flood. Period, because they're not following the criteria and the incentives put forth by the county board. And that's what it was all about. It was a partnership. In other words, a plan got to you, but that plan would already have been agreed upon. So the legislature wouldn't have had any problem of saying, oh no, this first grant is going to community X, because that's their priority and it's part of their plan.
Mr. Nona's question, though, had less to do with the apportioning of the cost on a project basis as to the preparing of the reconnaissance plans and the other subsidiary work that would go into the preparation to get to the point of actually dealing with projects. And I think John's point is underlies everything we do on this floor and around this table. The ability to pay for good ideas, which keep bubbling up.
You know, if we create a partnership, there are ways to do that. We could put together a plan with the county participating and the municipalities participating. Financially, we hire an outside expert who does the things that we want to do, who identifies the, who does the inventory, who identifies the condition of the appurtenances, who comes up with a capital plan, who comes up with a priority for the capital plan, who estimates those priorities, and then it all goes through the process and then eventually to the board for a yes or no.
So I think we have...
Well, but the question is whether the money is there for that expense, whether the municipality, who are also strapped these days financially, are going to want to pony up those funds.
Right.
That's an expensive, as Acting Commissioner Burrow said, hiring outside consultants is going to be a very expensive proposition, as we have seen in the affordable housing settlement analysis of impediments.
We pretty much have to close things down. We're losing people. Well, let me ask two things. Peter and Al, as representatives of the body that's going to recompose and refigure all of the points that have been raised here. Would you take as an additional task a broad scoping of what the next steps would be to implement this law? Let's make an assumption that the Board of Legislators will take your revised proposals and, while tweaking them with things like the governance, come up with a commitment that says we would really like to do this, but we have no idea how much this would cost, and propose to us a mechanism for trying to get at that question. Would that be something within your scope of abilities?
I think we can take it quite a long way. The task force has had in its files for 2 years the outline table of contents of what a comprehensive plan would be for the county. So we've got the work elements already identified, and it'd be a matter of determining the amount of man hours necessary to accomplish them and putting some cost figure to it.
Okay, I'm representing both Legislator Rogowski, Legislator Nona, and Legislator Harkham on this matter, but I think if that would be something you could do, our minutes that would go to both these chairs would reflect that, and they then would take the next step to convene another meeting and get those responses.
Mr. Chair, can I raise another referral?
Another referral?
To me that the prior county executive, if I recall, without much or any input from the board, came out with a $50 million.
$50 million.
Five years.
So my point is, Mr. Chairman, I think it's appropriate, but let's figure out what this is going to cost. But at somewhere along, I would describe there was a county policy.
It was in the capital plan.
So I think refer to the budget committee for us to do our work here. To John's point, we need to know from the budget committee or from this board what this board is thinking about. If we're going to say we want a $3 million flood control program or a $30 million, notwithstanding what the county executive is going to do. We talk here about we're setting policy. There's a $50 million program, which is probably off the table now, but it was on the table. What is this board? So we can give direction to the folks. What are we talking about? We're talking about substantive legislation, but we need to know what the county board's policy is on how much money we're going to put into this thing. So John raised the question. We have to answer that question.
Well, but first we have to know how much money is being asked of us. So it does become a chicken and an egg situation.
Totally, and Marty's right. It never was a tell us how much it's going to take kind of.
I read the papers one day. It was a $50 million program.
It was a pie in the sky. Here's what I'm going to, it's like a challenge.
Right. Well, but here we are.
$10 million.
But now it's up to us. It seems to me to get more serious.
Well, I'll say $10 million.
We're not the guys.
No, I said refer to the budget committee.
All the more reason why I think you need a watershed-wide plan.
Yeah.
Identify the projects with estimated costs.
That's what I said. Refer to the budget.
Point
so second. Never put it in your capital projects.
Oh no! It won't be built in the county's capital program over a 5 or 10 year period. Because you're not going to spend the whole amount of money in the first year.
No, I see.
But that $50,000 is doesn't exist now, right?
Well, I probably don't.
Okay, I think we've exhausted pretty much all the professional talent, a great deal of volunteer talent, and we've only begun to reap the benefits of the board members' opinions.
I thought we worked hard for it, Mr. Chair.
Motion to adjourn. Thank you, Mr. Gass.
So moved.
By Legislator Myers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I'm not a substitute chairman for anything.
put this together.
Very, 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 very,